And so, if you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Now, as we're going through this today, we're in chapter 9. We're talking about Saul. Saul comes onto the scene, and we had just got through with Stephen, who went out, and he was a great evangelist, and he's winning people to the Lord and doing the work of the Lord, and it's just a good time. And so now we move on to Saul. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. I titled this sermon, Religion versus Relationship. Religion versus relationship. You know, so many people, especially in this area, I find, but it's not just around here, it's everywhere you go, you talk to people and they have religion. Amen? How many people do you know have religion? Yeah, the multitude has religion. And see, I had this fixed until that thing shot me, and now it's messed up again. So we know a lot of people have religion. And if you talk to them, well listen, you know, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God, I believe in God. But the reality is, according to Scripture, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ personally, then your belief in God is meaningless. Okay? And now some people take offense to that and go, well, are you telling me my religion isn't worth anything? Here's what I'm telling you. That if your religion is not based on a relationship with Jesus Christ, then your religion isn't worth anything. But wait a minute, before you shoot me, my usher's standing in the back. That is according to this, not according to me. Okay, it's according to the Word of God. So as we look through this, we're going to unfold the Saul. Now the interesting thing about Saul is when he changes his name to Paul, and we'll read about that in the next chapter, because Saul is Paul. You know, how many know who Paul is in the Bible? Okay, well this is Paul before he gave his life to Christ, and his name is Saul. Let's go ahead and look here in Acts chapter 9. We'll start in verse 1. We're going to read through 19. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, let's stop there just for a second. He says, listen, I'm going to go to the high priest because Saul is part of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is made up of 70 men at this time. It was 70 men, and they were the council, if you will. They were the law, if you will. And so when the Sanhedrin made a decision, they fulfilled it. And now Paul, or Saul, being part of the Sanhedrin, he says, listen, you know what? Here's what I want to do. High priest. Now, it's kind of like an oxymoron, isn't it? He goes to the high priest and says, here's what I want to do. I want to go kill the Christians. Wait a minute. Isn't the priest supposed to protect the Christians? Isn't the priest... But see, here's the problem. The priest had religion. The priest didn't have a relationship. And so because the priest had religion, he's seen nothing wrong with killing Christians. I was reading an article, and how many have read where there's a baker, and I think it's in Iowa... Or Idaho is out west, and a homosexual couple came, wanted a cake baked for their wedding, and he refused to do the cake. And he said, it goes against my religious beliefs, my standings. And so he refused to do it. Well, they, of course, what'd they do? They sued him, they pressed charges, they're pursuing it. Rather than just go to another baker, they're going to take him into the courts. And here's what one of the congressmen of the state said about this baker. He said, the problem with this baker is he needs rehabilitated. And then went on to say, all Christians need rehabilitated. Because what we have is a sickness. We have an illness. It's a mental illness, but nonetheless, according to them, it's an illness. So if you're a Christian today, you need rehabilitated. That's pretty sad, isn't it? But it's because people have religion, but they don't have a relationship. It's the same thing going on here when Saul goes to the high priest. He says, look, give me my little army and give me my letter of affirmation that I can go and I can start arresting and killing Christians. If they don't want to come peacefully, we'll kill them. It doesn't matter, but we're going to take them out. And it doesn't matter if it's men or women. We're going to take them all. And so that's what we're reading about here in the first part of Acts. And we, when we think about this, we think religion or, you know, somebody's religious. That's meaningless, guys. How many realize that having religion is meaningless? Yeah, it is absolutely meaningless. It doesn't matter how religious you are. You can go to church every Sunday, and it doesn't matter. You can go to church every Saturday or every Wednesday or whatever day it is, and it doesn't matter. You can go to church every day, and it doesn't matter if you don't have Jesus Christ. And so what we see here is we see Saul going to the high priest that should be protecting the church, and yet he gives him a letter of affirmation to go and kill the Christians. So let's look here in verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Well, what we have here is we have Jesus Christ comes on the scene right here. And there's a bright light that shines around Saul, and everybody that's with Saul sees the light, but not everybody hears the voice. But Saul hears the voice. It's really interesting in verse 5, he says, and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." Now here's the real interesting thing that's going on here. First off, how many know what a goad is? All right, do we have a picture of it? Did we get it? Pull up. There you go. So if I just look, it would help, wouldn't it? So here's a picture of a goad. And you see what it's the long handle, and the shepherd would hold it from the handle at the end, it's pointed. And what they would do is they'd poke them right back in what we would call the Achilles. And on cattle, it was right on the lower part. And so when they would kick, when they get poked, their reaction was to kick against it. And when they kick against it, it'd just poke them even harder. And of course, it doesn't take long before you go, "Wait a minute, I need to quit kicking." and you move forward. Well, that's what Jesus is telling Saul here. He's saying, you know what? Every time you kick against the goads, or you kick against the pricks of the goads, it's just going to get worse. It's never going to get easier, and it's never going to get more comfortable, and you're never going to get used to it. And so what's happening is you're losing ground. It's a battle that you'll never win. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if you're kicking against the gospel, you're kicking against the pricking of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, "Hey, you know what? You need Jesus." Or, "Hey, you know what? Your life isn't right." Or, "Hey, guess what? You need to change this, or you need to change that." And you just keep kicking against it. In other words, you keep pursuing what you want to pursue, and you're ignoring the Holy Spirit. Guess what happens? It just hurts even more. It's not going to get any better. You're not going to win. And so you might as well surrender. It's funny when I always have toothpicks. I don't know why. I like toothpicks. I carry them around. And so if my girls act up, I'll take my toothpick out, and I take the fresh end, and I poke them with it. Not hard. I don't draw blood. So don't people say, "That is so mean." No, it's amazing how quick my kids come into submission. I'm thinking, praise Jesus. They're not liking the story, but I'm thinking, praise Jesus for the toothpick. That's like a goad, you know? Yeah, and so all of a sudden, they come into submission, and I have new kids. All I got to do is take my toothpick out. Amen. How many are going to go get toothpicks now? So that's what's going on here. Jesus says, listen, you know what? You're kicking against the pricks. You're kicking against the goads, and you're not going to get anywhere. It's only going to hurt you if you continue. Why? Because, listen, God's rule, He reigns. What He says goes, whether we like it or not. God is in charge. And what He does, what He says, goes. Now, when we see here Saul's coming in, and what you got to understand, Saul's been Satan's hitman. That's what's going on here. Saul's been Satan's hitman, and Jesus is tired of it now. And so as Saul is heading to Damascus, on the road to Damascus, Jesus just kind of visits him, and Saul has an encounter of the third kind, if you will. How many remember Star Trek? They go do a little flashback on Sunday. That's all that ever watched Star Trek? Anyway, so let's look here in 6. So he, being Saul, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Now, he calls him Lord not because he believes he's Lord, but because he has shown himself more powerful than Saul. And very few people have ever shown themselves more powerful than Saul. And so because of this, he says, Lord, as in, okay, you're greater than I am. What do you want me to do? Not Lord as in you're my Lord and Savior, but you're greater than I am. What do you want me to do? See, because he has religion. And I'm going to tell you how we know that Saul has religion. Look in Philippians 3, 2 through 6. Philippians 3, 2 through 6. And it says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, and here we go, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, this is Paul talking after the conversion and in Philippians. And so in 3:4 it says, it goes on, go ahead to the next slide. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Now here's what's happening. Paul literally is starting to do his resume for you. Paul's saying, you know what, you think you have right to have confidence? You think you're somebody? I'm going to show you who's somebody. I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to show you what's going on. And so now Paul, being part of the Sanhedrin, having been taught by Gamaliel, remember who Gamaliel is? Gamaliel is the one who saved the disciples when they were about to get abused because they were preaching in the town square. And Gamaliel said, hey, wait a minute, listen, if this is of God, you can't stop it. But if it's not of God, everybody will flee away anyway. They won't follow them. They'll fall apart. And so if it's not of God, just wait and let it go. So and Gamaliel was a great teacher back in that day. So Saul, having been taught under their reign, he goes in 5 and he starts listing his pedigree, if you will. And he said, Philippians 5. I'm not there, so I got to read here. Circumcised the 8th day. In other words, he's a Jew. And so he was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. He says, you know what? I am the man. I have followed the law. I've done everything according to the book, to the T. I was circumcised on the 8th day. I am the man. I am the Hebrew of Hebrews. Nobody's better than me. That's what Paul's saying. He goes, listen, I wrote history books. I'm smart. I had it all. And then he says, concerning zeal. Now here I want you to see religion. This is religion. Paul has an incredible amount of religion. He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He says, you know what? I love God so much, and I had so much zeal that I was persecuting the church for him. I was willing to do anything it took for God. It was religion. He was doing it because of his religious beliefs. He wasn't doing it for any other reason, because had he known Jesus Christ, he would never have done that. He would never have killed, right? The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. And so he says, concerning zeal, I had zeal. I was the man. And I loved my religion. And I loved my religion so much that I was killing for it. See, he had religion. He was right on target, man. And that's why he says blameless. I was blameless in my religion. I know I killed everybody, but listen, I have zeal, and I was blameless in my religion. See, religion doesn't do anything for you. By the way, do you know if you're a cult, it's a religion. We have a cult right here on the grounds in the building next to us. It's called Venture Inward. Anybody ever see that? They're a cult. And you go, that's not nice to talk about your neighbors. Yes, it is. I'm warning you. Listen, people go there to get hypnotized. People go there to learn how to talk to their dogs. And you think I'm kidding. They had a sign there that says, learn how to speak to your dog, where the dog understands you and you understand the dog. You can verbally communicate. Am I the only one who thinks that's crazy? I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to go learn that so I can listen to my dog think of what he's going to do next. And man, they're smoking crack. They got to be high. How can you? It's crazy. And then it says, okay, you know what? We're going to hypnotize you and you're going to quit smoking. Well, if you ever go there on those sessions, you can't stand to get near it because there are, you got 20 people in a room a little bit bigger than this platform, and they're all in a circle, and they all bring a carton of cigarettes, and they all light them up one after the other, chain smoking. So you got 25 people in a circle that are trying to eliminate all oxygen in the room. And can you? How many used to smoke? How many still smoke? All right. So I thought I'd catch a few. And so they're here. Smoke, 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 smoke. Now they can't even see each other. Feeling around, see if anybody's in there. It's not hypnotizing that makes you want to quit. You're so sick, you just got to get out of there and you quit. That's what they do up there. They talk to the dead. That's a cult. Listen, anything that has to do that anything that's a religion or doesn't have to do with Jesus Christ being your personal Savior is a cult. And it's all around. It is all around us. There are churches in this area that are cultic. And you go, I don't know, Pastor, you're starting to get personal. No, I'm just telling you. As your shepherd, as the pastor, I need to tell you the truth. I need to tell you where the holes are so you don't fall in them. And I'm telling you, there's so much religion going on here. There's a church right down the street. I can't tell you the name of it because I really don't want to call out churches. But if you go up here to the light just past Wendy's, turn right and go. What road is that golf school on? Yeah, it's right at the end of that road. Now, I'm not going to tell you which side, but it's right at the end of that road. And you know what? They financially support abortion clinics. As a matter of fact, they have a special fund that people give to, and the majority of their members give to it. Insanity. But we're a church that loves God. You might love God, but you don't know God. It's religious. It's religion. It's not a relationship. So many churches in this area have switched to religion. God's religion is going to send you to hell. I mean, I know that's not comfortable. Nobody came here to hear me say you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus, but that's the reality of it. If you came here to feel good, I'm trying. I'll find a joke somewhere here for you. So as we look at this and we see, we're starting to see religion. We're seeing that Saul calls Jesus Lord, not because he believes who he is, but because now he's dominated him. He has become higher than Saul. And Saul is going, whoa, you have overpowered me. And so now you're Lord, not because, it's kind of like the king would be considered Lord, not because he's God, but because he is over him. You get what I'm saying? This is what's going on here. And he says, what do you want me to do? I need to finish this. In 3:7, it says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. He says, I was the man, I had it all, but you know what? I gave it all up for Christ, and I've gained more than I ever gave up. And I'm going to tell you the same way with the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you're going to struggle through life. It's just reality. You're going to struggle. Why? Because you're basing decisions off of society. You're basing you're making decisions on. For example, we're getting ready to start a Dave Ramsey Peace University, and it's going to be on Wednesday nights at 7. Well, you know, the world says, oh, it fits in my budget, and that's another payment. I make this much money, and so you know what? I can afford it, so let's do it. And the world says, that's what you need to do because you deserve it. God says, owe no man nothing. He says, don't be in debt. He said, you're a servant to the lender. You're a slave to the one you owe money to. The world says, borrow, borrow, borrow. God says, no, no, no. But we do that in all aspects of our life. Marriages. We're getting ready next month to we'll end here in chapter 12 of Acts. And we're going to start on a marriage series in September. And we're going to look at what God really says about marriage. Well, you know, the world will tell you, hey, you don't love him no more? Get out. You deserve happiness. God says, don't get divorced. Well, you know what? My spouse isn't giving me what I want. So you go out and you find somebody that is giving you the pleasures that you're looking for. And God says, don't commit adultery. But the world says, hey, if your partner's not there, go get it somewhere else because you deserve to be happy. We listen to the world. We just keep going in a bigger hole and a bigger hole, and we get more scars and more scars and deeper scars. And sometimes the wounds get so deep that we don't think they're ever going to heal. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. But you listen to the world. The world will tell you, go out and buy something. You'll feel better. Go out and do this because you deserve it and you'll feel better. But when it's all said and done, you don't feel any better, do you? The guilt maybe runs over you. Or the filthiness where you're like, oh, why did I do that? Oh. But if we listen to the world, it's good, and that's what we should do. But man, if we listen, God says, I want you to have a relationship. When you have a relationship, you don't have all these rules and these laws. Because you don't look at them as rules and laws. You look at them as, hey, if I'm going to stay pure and out of trouble and have no stress, I'm going to follow the Lord. And I'm going to do it God's way. There's a huge difference. Religion, I'm telling you guys, religion, as good as that word sounds, it is equally as destructive. Just because somebody's religious means nothing. Paul here, we see, is religious. Because he asked, who are you? Who are you? What do you want me to do? So we know Paul had religion. We see it in Philippians. He admits it, that he had religion. So now we get here, and Jesus tells him, says, here in verse 6, then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. I can imagine what's going on here with Saul. Man, I just had the biggest awakening of my life. I am not hungry. I am not thirsty. I just really need to think about this one. Can you imagine what's happening now? He's got to be reflecting on what happened on the road. There had to be a huge conversation from where Jesus showed up to where he went, to where the room was. There had to be conversation. I can only imagine what the conversation was. What was that? I don't know. Did you hear that? I don't know. Paul says, no, listen, I'm not crazy. I was having a conversation with this Jesus, the one that we're killing everybody because of. And they're claiming he's God. But man, we say he was just a criminal. And you didn't hear him talking? And they're going, dude, I don't know what happened. We just need to get you somewhere and drop you off. Right? Because that's what they did. They got him to a room and they dropped him off. As far as we know, he's alone. He doesn't eat. He doesn't drink. He's really thinking about what he heard. He's really thinking about what he saw. He's really thinking about, listen, you cannot have an encounter with Jesus Christ and then deny it later. If you had a true encounter with Jesus Christ, I hear people all the time saying, well, I used to be a Christian. Remember on Wednesdays we were doing the creation and a lot of the atheists says, well, I used to be a Christian, but I converted to atheism. Then you were never a Christian. There's no way that you can meet Jesus Christ and then deny him. No way. It is impossible. And Paul, or Saul here, he's reflecting. He's reflecting. You know, some of us might need to stop and reflect. Did we really see God? Do we really know God? Do we have religion? Or do we have a relationship? It's a legitimate question. Do we have religion or do we have relationship? Do I know the God of this world, the Savior that died on the cross? Do I know Him personally? Do I have this intimate relationship? Or do I just know God? And then I see Christians. And when I see Christians, I'm wondering, what do they got? What do they got that I don't have? Right? You ever been there? That's a good sign that you don't know Jesus. How come they have peace and I don't? I remember talking to Cindy after John passed away, and everybody's going up to her and talking to her and going, man, how can you be so strong through this? How can you have such peace in this? And she says, well, it's because of Jesus. See, it's not religion, it's a relationship. It's because of Jesus. Jesus? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, Jesus is real. I don't believe that. Okay. What do you do after that? You let him go. A man persuaded against his will is of the same opinion still. See, the heart's got to change. And that's about what we're about to see happen right here. So in 7, well, in 9, okay, they take him, they drop him off. Now let's look here in verse 10. We've seen religion. Now let's look at relationship. We've seen religion in Saul, but now let's look at relationship in Ananias. And by the way, this is the only place we really know anything about Ananias is right here. But oh my goodness, what a man of God that helped change the world, amen? Because he was obedient. You know, so many of us, we fail to be obedient. Why are we not obedient? Because we're selfish? You know, that's not fair, Pastor. That's reality. We're selfish, we're prideful, we want what we want, and God, forget what you want. Because what you want gets in the way of what I want. And God, you see the clash? Sorry, you lose. And I'm not trying to be rude or ugly. I'm just saying that's the mentality of most Christians. Or religious people. I don't know where they fit because I don't know their heart. Only God knows their heart. So let's look here in 10. We're going to look at what a relationship looks like. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight. Now the street called Straight is nothing but Main Street going through town. It was roughly about 3 miles long, and it ran straight through town. And so he says, he's on Main Street. I just want you to go down to Main Street. And inquire at the house of Judas. So therefore, he narrowed down this 3 mile road to Judas's house. For one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. Now, I don't know when, and nobody really knows when Saul got saved and gave his heart to Christ. Nobody really knows when. It could be happening right here while he's praying. God says, I want you to go because he's praying. Why is he praying? Well, you know what? He's praying to receive Christ as a Savior, me as his Savior. So it could be right here while he's praying, but nobody really knows. So I'm not going to tell you that it was here. I'm not going to tell you it was on the road to Damascus. I don't think it was on the road. I don't think it was when the bright light was shining because he was still wondering who he was. Who are you? What do you want me to do? Okay, I want you to go to the. I want you to go. And he's like, okay. And so he listens. I don't think he got saved there. I think it's somewhere in here when he says he's praying. Because now he's truly seeking God. Right? Isn't that what prayer does? Prayer is communication between you and God. People go, well, I don't know how to pray. Listen, here's my question. How many here know how to talk? All ladies should raise their hand right now. I'm kidding. Some of you went, I don't like that. All you got to, listen, do you know how to talk? That's all it is. That's all prayer is you talking to God, whether it's verbally, out loud, or quietly within. It is when you stop and nobody else exists, and you say, oh God, I need you. God, I'm struggling today. God, I just need a touch. God, I need some encouragement. God, I need some wisdom. That's prayer. It's you stopping and saying, God, I need you to come into my life. That's prayer. So anybody can do that. People say, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. Stop and talk to God. That's prayer. Now, some of you, I wouldn't recommend the language that you use with others or at work. I would recommend you switch up the verbiage a little bit, but that's prayer. Just talking. So he says here, in 10:11, he's praying. I'm thinking right here is where he gets saved. And I'll tell you why I think this is it in just a second. Look here in 12. And in a vision, he has seen a man named, and this is God, Jesus talking to Ananias. Telling them, Saul is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias, that would be you, Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. Now I can imagine there's a little trembling going on in Ananias' voice. Hey, Lord, I know of this man, and Lord, just a little closer. Lord,
do you know kills Christians.
Jesus says, I know. He goes, okay, I was just checking. I mean, I know you're God and you know everything, but Lord, you really know what you're asking me to do? I mean, he could have done that. And I can imagine that there is a little question mark going on in Ananias' head right now. And he says here in 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Look here in 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. Stop right there for a second. What did we just see going on here? We've seen the life of Saul. It was religion. He was killing Christians. He was doing what he wanted. He got letters from the chief priest. He was going after. He was a murderer. Listen, he was doing all he wanted in the name of religion. And he even says, I was a zealot for my religion. But he was a lost man. He was a hurting man. And we see that he didn't know God, because on the road to Damascus, what's he say? Who are you, God? Or who are you, Lord? That's religion, but when we get to relationship, we see something completely different, don't we? Ananias. God says, Ananias. And Ananias says, I'm here, Lord. He didn't say, who are you? He didn't say, oh, what's going on? What's the bright light? What's the voice? My head, I need to be rehabilitated. Oh, where am I going? No, he said, what do you want, Lord? What can I do for you? That's relationship. Do you see the difference? Some of you marriages, you have the religion in your marriage, and you really need the relationship in your marriage. You guys don't know how to communicate anymore. You don't even know when each other's talking anymore. I'm going to tell you, relationship is huge. And without relationship, you're lost. Without relationship, what hope do you have? And I want you to see here that Ananias had a relationship with Jesus Christ. It was personal, and they talked, and they knew who each other was. And you know what? Can you imagine being called on to go talk to a murderer who is still free to murder? It's not like he's behind bars. And Jesus says, look, you go, because I'm going to use him. And Ananias says, okay, God, because of our relationship, I trust you. Because I know you're a God that cannot lie. I know you're a God that loves me, and you're my shield and you're my protector. Lord, I know that you have equipped me, that you've not given me the spirit of fear, but you give me boldness and a sound mind. God, I know you, and because I know you and we have this relationship, I trust you, and I'm just going to go and do it. Do you see the difference between religion and relationship? And some of you are sitting here today, and guess what? All you have is religion. Religion. Which means you really have nothing. You have a false sense of security. Because so many people have lied to you and said, listen, if you're a good person and you do good works, you're going to go to heaven. Well, listen, Paul was a good person. He did good works. Now, not in our eyes, but guess what? In his community's eyes, in his leadership's eyes, in his circle, he did good works. He was getting rid of people that needed rehabilitated. I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to get rid of people that need rehabilitated. Maybe it's just me. Come on, there are some people that are nuisances, amen? Okay, I'm the lone ranger up here. Everybody's going, I ain't raising my hand. I'm not saying a word. But in Paul's circle, man, he was doing a good thing. Religion, he was a zealot. Man, he did good. But no relationship. Here we see relationship. And man, how sweet it is. Now, here's why I tell you that I think when Jesus says, listen, in 11, I want you to go and talk to him because he's praying. And then in 13, Ananias answered and said, tells him, okay, Lord, you know what? You know who this man is? And Jesus says, yeah, but you know what? I'm going to use him for a vessel. I need you to go. 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying hands on him, he said, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. That would not have happened if Saul was lost. That would not have happened. Listen. So when he got saved somewhere, and I think it was when he was praying, when Jesus said he's praying. I think that's when Saul got saved. And Ananias goes in, and he says, Brother Saul. I think there was your conversion. Now, that's just my opinion here because nobody really knows when he got saved. But this is evidence because Ananias called him brother. Guess what happened when he called him brother? It shows in the Bible that Saul just got the relationship. He's no longer religious. Now he's in a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior. How sweet is that? And some of you remember the day when you got a relationship and religion went out the window. And some of you are sitting here today and you still hold tight to that religion and you don't have the relationship. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing sweeter than when you make the decision to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you because you are God. And that's the beginning of the relationship. And you go, it can't be that easy. Yes, it is. It can't be that easy. Well, it's not. As long as your pride gets in the way, it's not that easy. Because that's really what makes it difficult. You want what you want, the way you want it, when you want it, how you want it, and it's your pride. And you go, I can't. I refuse to believe that. Well, then you'll stay in religion. It's really quite simple. But not as long as you want what you want the way you want it. And by the way, as long as you stay in that mindset, life's always going to be difficult. You're always going to be kicking against the goads, the pricks. It's going to hurt. So look here, he calls him brother Saul, the Lord Jesus. Here in 17, Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that he got saved when Ananias laid his hands on him. It means that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you got to remember that laying hands on people isn't what fills them with the Spirit. God fills them with Spirit. And the reason that people were laying their hands on him this day was to give validity to the disciples. It was to show that God was empowering them. So when somebody went up and laid hands on them and says they received the Holy Spirit, that was to give them validity to their ministry because this is the beginning of the church. Now today you can go to some churches and they say you don't receive the Holy Spirit until you start speaking differently and they lay hands on you. But that's not true. According to Scripture, when you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within inside of you and lives in you until the day of redemption at the very moment you surrender your life to Christ. Nobody has to lay their hands on you. Back here, it was just to show the disciples and to legitimize their ministry. Okay? So I just wanted to bring clarity to that. So here in 18, immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And then look here in 20. In 20, we see the religion to the relationship. Look here in 20. Immediately. Hey, everybody hear that word? Everybody say immediately. Immediately. He preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. We see in the beginning he had religion. We see at the end of this he had a relationship. And until you do it God's way, you don't have this. And then people say, well, you know, I'm shy and I'm waiting on God to do a work in me. And I'm like, that's, okay, how can I really politely say that that's junk? Okay, that's junk. When you get a relationship with Christ and you truly understand what's happened, you truly understand who died for you. And that there was a real death, a real beating, a real murder that happened to our Savior Jesus Christ. And not just a beating like we would think, but we're talking an absolute annihilation of who he was as a man. Ripping his beard out of his face, ripping the skin, because when they grabbed it, chunks of skin came with the hair. beating him to where he was almost unrecognizable as a man. When you get a hold of that, that is what he went through for you and I to have this relationship. You become so appreciative that you don't have a problem telling somebody about Jesus. And you go, well, I'm nervous and I'm scared. You know why? Because you don't get in here and learn who he is. You don't build that relationship. Listen, when husband and wife get married, guess why they get married? Okay, some of you did it wrong and maybe you had a baby and then you got married because you felt out of obligation. And so here we are for the rest of our life and we're going to be miserable because we're not compatible, but we got a baby and we're going to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Don't live like that. Are you crazy? Okay, you know what? We kind of did this backwards, but here's what we're going to do. Because God says when you have this relationship, it's about love. And by the way, you know why you're going to love Jesus? Because you make a decision to love him. You make a decision to get to know him. That's why you love your spouse, because you made a decision to come together. And then as that grows, as your knowledge of each other grows, guess what? The relationship gets deeper. I hear people all the time, we've been married for 10 years, and I love him more today than the day I said I do. Right? How many hear that? Man, you guys are just not even in it today, are you? You want me to hurry up, don't you? Now, don't raise your hand. And so this relationship thing is what I'm talking about. And you that are married, if you're struggling and you're fighting, you're having your odds with one another, and you go, well, we just got to live in this until Jesus comes back. Jesus, come back in the morning by the time I wake up. So it is all good. Or I've heard people say, take him now, Lord. Just now. Just end it. That's religion. That's not relationship. And what you got to do is you got to build your relationship with God just like you do your spouse. And if you ignore it and complain about it and neglect it, guess what you have? A huge problem. It's kind of like having a yard and you plant grass, but you never water it. You get weeds. Weeds will survive in anything. And then you go out there and the next thing you know, how many have ever go to pull weeds and you didn't notice, but they look kind of like a leafy flower, but when you grab hold of them, they're full of prickers. And you know what I'm saying? I hate those things. And you try and pull it, so you pull it from the bottom, and then you look like a little wussy because you're getting there, but you don't want to get pinched, and you're trying to pull it up. You guys know what I'm talking about? See, I sent my girls out to pull weeds, and there was one of them in the thing, and my one daughter said, I can't get that, Dad. And I went, no, you won't get it because it's too prickly. Now I'm going to have to get it. And when we neglect our relationship, that's what we get in our yard. When we neglect our relationship with God, you're not going to stand up for him because you don't know him. You don't trust him. I see it all the time in marriages. I see it in finances. I see it at work. I see it in language. I see it in dress. I see it all the time. People say, I love Jesus, but none of your stuff lines up with him. It's because your relationship with him stinks. And you're struggling. By the way, you're going to continue to struggle. And you go, well, it's not so bad. You know why it's not so bad? Because you got used to it. Not because you like it anymore. It's because you got used to it. The proverbial frog gets thrown in the pot. The water's cold when he gets thrown in. The frog's like, woohoo, swim around. I can't get out, but it's all cool in here. And then all of a sudden the temperature starts changing. You know what happens to the frog? He changes with the temperature. Is it healthy? No, because you know why? Eventually the water goes to a boil and the frog's goodbye. Now we got frog legs, which is good. It's not that he liked the boiling water, it's just that he was so accustomed to it. You can have a different life if you have a different relationship. And it starts with Jesus. Leave him out, struggle. Bring him in, you still might struggle, but man, how much sweeter is it? I'm telling you, Jesus will deliver you. Man, he'll take you. He'll give you a life that you never knew. He'll open your eyes and turn on lights that you've never seen before. Jesus is so awesome. But as long as you hold on to your religion, you'll never experience that relationship. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good. Lord, if there's anyone in this room, Lord, that is like Saul, Lord, they have religion. As a matter of fact, they're zealous for their religion. But Lord, they're missing you. Jesus is the key, and the key is missing. Lord, I pray right now that your hand would touch them, Lord, that conviction would be so powerful on them, Lord, that they almost can't breathe because they realize they need Jesus. Lord, they realize that they don't have the relationship. Lord, they realize all they have is an empty religion with empty promises. Lord, we've seen the difference with Saul, who asked who you are, and Ananias, who says, Lord, I'm here. Yes, Lord, what do you want? Yes, Lord, I'll serve you. Yes, Lord, I'll do. Lord, that's the difference. And so, Lord, I pray right now that you would help each and every person in here, Lord. Those who don't know Jesus and those who do, to understand if they don't know your voice, they're not close enough to you. Lord, may you be honored and glorified this morning through decisions in the heart of each and every one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're sitting here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you say, I think I do, or maybe so, maybe not, I don't know, I'm not sure. Here's a good litmus test, if you will. If you were to die right now, God forbid, because we don't want to have to carry you out of here, but if you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? If your answer is yes, praise Jesus. If your answer is, that's a good question, I don't know how I can answer it, then I suggest that you really look at your heart. I suggest that you look at your religion compared to your relationship and then make a decision. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you couldn't answer confidently if you were to die that you'd go to heaven, then I want you to pray this prayer. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. And listen, the prayer doesn't save you. It is the attitude of your heart that saves you. The prayer is like a roadmap. It just guides you through the process. And so if you're here this morning and you say, if I were to die right now, I don't know that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure. Then I'm going to tell you, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not going to heaven. But there's an easy fix. But only you can fix it. And it begins in your heart. And so first you have to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose the third day and he's at the right hand of the Father. You have to believe you're a sinner, which means you do wrong. Now, all of us do, so you're not in the boat by yourself. But then you got to make this decision. If you believe all that, then you simply ask Christ to come into your life. So you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I've done wrong. I know I've lied. I have taken things that weren't mine. I have said things I shouldn't have said. I have done things I shouldn't have done. And so, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. But right now, Lord, I ask for forgiveness. Today, I surrender my life to you. Today, I want that relationship that Ananias had. And I'm going to start the process right now. Lord, forgive me of my sins and save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.